Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Saying no in the right way. Most of us find it difficult to say no when someone asks us for a favor, don't we? It's difficult to say no when you know someone needs your help. It becomes even more difficult to say no in the workplace because you don't want to offend anyone. However, it's possible to refuse to do something in a polite and nice way that does not annoy anyone, hurt their feelings, or cause offense. In this lesson, we will look at how to say no in the workplace in a way that ensures that the other person can see your point of view. You can do this by speaking factually, firmly, and using a calm and polite tone. You will now listen to two versions of a conversation between Jim and his boss. In the first version, Jim is not able to say no and ends up having to do the favor and also make his boss feel that he is doing it unwillingly. Let's listen to the first version now.
Hi, Jim. How are things coming along with that sales presentation?
Oh, fine, fine.
That's good. Now, listen, I have this report to do tomorrow, and I need the budget figures put together today. I was wondering if you could do it.
I'm kind of busy right now. You know, the schedule for this presentation is tight as it is, and I'm not going to get much support from the other team members, and...
I know. I wouldn't ask you if it weren't important.
And there's no one else you can ask?
Well, Jane's up to her ears with the management meeting, and Cindy has to get home to her kids, and you know Elaine isn't feeling well.
But I'm already late on this project. I've been doing overtime every day now for 2 weeks, and at this rate, I'm going to get sick, too.
You're right, Jim. This is all a bit much for you. I suppose I'll have to do it myself, then.
No, I'll do it. It shouldn't take much more than an hour, right?
Yeah, more or less.
All the relevant figures are available, right?
Well, almost. The purchasing department hasn't provided its figures yet, but you can just give the department a quick call and request them.
But the purchasing department never answers calls. I always end up going over there in person, and then I have to wait.
It's only down the hall. Just tell them it's urgent. I'm sure they'll cooperate.
Oh, sure.
Thanks for doing this, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a closer look at this conversation to see what Jim does wrong and what he could have done to talk to his boss more politely and convincingly. Firstly, let's listen again to how Jim responds when his boss asks him a question.
Oh, fine, fine.
Jim's answer here is really vague and uninterested. He sounds like he is distracted, and he seems impolite because he does not give his boss a specific answer to his question about how Jim's presentation is going. When his boss asks him to take on some extra work for the day, Jim makes the mistake of trying to refuse to do the work for emotional rather than factual reasons. He tries to say that he is very busy and that no one else from the team is supporting him, but this sounds like he is complaining, and it does not get him any sympathy from his boss. Let's listen again to how Jim tries to refuse.
I'm kind of busy right now. You know, the schedule for this presentation is tight as it is.
Jim makes at least two mistakes here. Firstly, he does not say anything about the task that he's been asked to do, but rather focuses on what he is already doing. Instead of asking for more details about what exactly needs to be done, he tries to refuse by talking in vague and unspecific terms about what he is doing. When he finally has to agree to do the task, Jim does so unwillingly and ungraciously. Let's listen to that again.
I suppose I'll have to do it myself, then.
No, I'll do it. It shouldn't take much more than an hour, right?
Instead of having his boss appreciate the fact that he is willing to take on more work, Jim annoys him by complaining and accepting to do it in a way that is aggressive and impolite. Jim continues to sound hostile towards his boss because he is not happy about having to do the extra work. He lets his aggressive attitude show right up to the end of the conversation. Let's listen again to how he responds when his boss thanks him for taking on the extra work.
Thanks for doing this, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this conversation, Jim doesn't just have the extra work he has no time for, but he also feels guilty for acting aggressively. He also feels upset at being loaded down with work while the others can go home, and he feels angry because the job turned out to be bigger than he expected. His boss is also not very happy. So in this situation, no one is happy. How could Jim have done this better? By remaining calm and factual, and by keeping his emotions under control. Let's look at a better way of handling this situation. In the next dialogue, you'll hear how Jim says no in the right way.
Hi, Jim. How are things coming along with that sales presentation?
Quite well, thank you. There have been a few technical problems, but so far we're on schedule.
Good, good. Now, listen, I have this report to do tomorrow, and I need the budget figures put together today. I was wondering if you could do it.
What exactly needs to be done?
The figures from all the departments need to be put together in a spreadsheet.
Are all the figures already here?
Almost. The purchasing department hasn't supplied its figures yet, but that shouldn't take too long to chase up.
So we're talking about a realistic project time of 3 or 4 hours.
Probably won't take that long.
I'm afraid I can't spare that time today. My presentation's due tomorrow.
Listen, I realize how busy you are, but this is quite important.
I can see that. Perhaps we can move the deadline of my presentation back a day and make the budget a priority one project.
We really can't do that. I promised John the presentation by Thursday.
I see. Let me think how we can get around this. If someone could possibly take my presentation to the printer this afternoon, and someone else chased up the missing figures, then we could probably manage it with about an hour of overtime each. How does that sound to you?
That sounds great. Thanks, Jim. I really do appreciate it.
No problem.
That was much better. Let's look at the things that Jim does right. First, he responds to his boss's first question in a polite and informative manner. Let's listen to that exchange again.
Hi, Jim. How are things coming along with that sales presentation?
Quite well, thank you. There have been a few technical problems, but so far we're on schedule.
Next, Jim also makes sure he knows exactly what is being asked of him. He says,
"What exactly needs to be done?"
By asking for specific information about the work that has to be done, Jim ensures that he knows enough about the task that he is being asked to do before deciding whether he can do it. Also note that Jim uses the passive voice here. The passive voice can be used efficiently when you want to sound polite, because you can avoid using the first person when you use the passive voice. Saying, "what needs to be done," is more polite than saying, "what do I have to do?" Then, Jim is very factual about his workload. He also uses the polite phrase, "I'm afraid," to make his statement sound more friendly and courteous. Let's listen to that again.
"I'm afraid I can't spare that time today. My presentation's due tomorrow."
Note how saying, "I'm afraid I can't spare that time," sounds much better than saying, "I don't have the time." When we want to say no to someone, it's better to say "I'm afraid" rather than say "I'm sorry." It sounds a little less guilty. You can place "I'm afraid" either at the beginning or at the end of a sentence, although placing the phrase at the start is more common. Next, Jim is flexible when it comes to looking for a solution that is effective and fair. First, he suggests getting more time for his presentation. He says,
"Perhaps we can move the deadline of my presentation back a day and make the budget a priority one project."
Note the structure of Jim's sentence here. Again, he uses the polite phrase, perhaps we could, to begin his statement. This sounds much better than saying, can we move the deadline? By using the word perhaps, Jim is also making it clear that he is making a suggestion instead of saying that he cannot do the extra work unless the deadline is moved. His boss will appreciate the fact that Jim is making a suggestion that will help him to accommodate the extra work into his schedule. This way, it does not sound like Jim is complaining. It helps his boss to understand that Jim wants to be able to do the extra work, but doesn't really have the time to do it. Since it is not possible to move the deadline, Jim makes another suggestion. He suggests that the work could be spread out among more people. Let's listen again to how he does that.
If someone could take my presentation to the printer this afternoon and someone else chased up the missing figures, then we could probably manage it with about an hour of overtime each.
Note that Jim uses the if-then style of making a point here. He makes it clear that if something else is done, then he might be able to do the extra work. This is something that his boss finds acceptable, because he knows then that Jim wants to help him out, and is not just making excuses to get out of doing extra work. Of course, in the end, Jim does have to do some extra work, but he works out a solution that doesn't leave him frustrated and angry. Also, his boss shows gratitude and respect. By being considerate and looking at the situation from his manager's point of view, Jim is able to propose a solution that helps them both. Using polite language and arguing your point clearly and factually can help you to say no in a way that may help you to work out a compromise that will keep both you and your coworkers happy. You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.